good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, in 2021, the UPSR exam and the Form 3 assessment, or PT3, were discontinued to move away from standardized testing in favor of classroom-based assessments, more commonly referred to by its Malay acronym PBD, or Pentaksiran Bilik Darjah. Now, despite this transition, some parents and educators have expressed apprehension over the effectiveness of the implementation of PBD. Now, how successful has it been in this transition, and where are the areas of improvement that might be implemented to address parental concern? Joining me on the show now is Cheryl Fernando. She is the CEO of Pemimpin GSL, Pemimpin GSL Malaysia, which is an organisation focused on improving leadership in schools. Cheryl, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm wondering how you are interpreting the hesitations that have been expressed by parents and some educators towards classroom-based assessments.
I think, firstly, it's only natural, because I feel like we have been very ingrained with the exam-based system for many years. So it's like you need to be able to see it, whether there's an A or there's a B, and to suddenly move towards a more a system where the assessment is actually more holistic, right? So they are looking at the whole learning process. They measure the child's ability. They measure them at every point of the way, and not just one big exam at the end. I think naturally there will be hesitation from parents and from teachers alike.
Okay, maybe you can share with us a little bit about how the assessments are carried out. When you say measure the ability, how is it measured, Cheryl?
Yeah, so they gather information on like the pupils' progress, their development, their abilities and achievements. So they have different TPs, or they call it like tahap penguasaan. So it's TP1 until, if I'm not mistaken, like TP5. And then from there, let's say it's mathematics, and they need to measure whether a child can do fractions. So then they measure that mastery of that of the child's ability to do fractions. So it's done in that way, instead of what we used to have, which is at the year end or at the midterm, we would do a big exam where everything is put together. So in Pentaksiran Bilik Darjah, PBD, at every point of the way, there is an assessment for a child for them to develop mastery.
Okay, so how reliant is the PBD, the classroom-based assessment, on teachers' evaluations of students? So this would depend purely on a teacher's subjective evaluation of a child. Is that correct, or do they have certain metrics or indexes that they can rely on in terms of measuring a child's ability, a student's ability?
So in each of the TP, or in each of the tahap penguasaan, they have rubrics for them to follow, and they have standards for them to follow. But I think because it is a classroom-based assessment and it's not a standardized exam, so it also heavily depends on the teacher and what the teacher believes to be that measure of the child's success. So if the teacher says, okay, I think I am sufficiently happy with your ability to do fractions at this point, and then they can pass them on to the next TP. So there is still that element of subjectivity there, and still very heavy reliant on the teacher itself.
Right.
Is that a concern in the implementation of PBD, that because it's so reliant on a teacher's evaluation, that there might need to be strategies or policies in place to ensure objectivity and fairness in the assessments?
Yeah, I think firstly is like supporting teachers, right, and providing them that training so that they are able to carry this out effectively. I think that's that. I think the element of like fairness and all of that will definitely come to place. It even comes to place when you have like standardized exam and you have to mark like an essay also, right? That is also subjective there, right? So this is just like mini essays or something that the teacher has to keep looking into. And I think it's to maybe for parents to also trust that teachers have been doing this for many years. It's not new. It's something that it was introduced when I first started teaching in school. So that's nearly 10 years ago when they first started introducing this. So teachers have had a lot of practice in it. But yeah, definitely there is that mindset shift that needs to go with the whole assessment as well.
Okay, so talk to us, Cheryl, based on your experience. What is working in terms of the implementation of classroom-based assessments, and where are the areas you think may be improved or may need to be re-looked at?
Yeah. I think what is working is that it puts Malaysia on the right track as international, as other countries, right? So we do away with standardized examinations. I think we were one of the only few countries that had standardized examinations at standard 6, and then form 3, and then SPM. So doing away with that actually sets us on par with other countries that are moving towards more mastery-based assessment. So in theory, I think definitely we are on the right track, and there is no way we should go back to standardized exam, because the whole world is moving towards these assessments, right? But I think what is that gap is, I think, communication from the ministry. So ministry must recognize that parents are also their biggest stakeholders. How do you communicate this assessment to them? And how do you make them comfortable with the idea that I won't be seeing A's or B's on the report card, but I'll be knowing how my child is doing, the mastery that they have gained in a certain subject. Parents must be able to be comfortable with that idea. And I think then continuously upskilling teachers so that they know, you know, as time moves, as, you know, with ChatGPT coming into place and all of these things in technology, how can they ensure that the assessments that they are providing students are rigorous enough and they are pushing students to achieve their potential? I think that is crucial to make PBD really successful.
So can I ask you about that? When you talk about upskilling teachers and ensuring that they are well-equipped to conduct, you know, relevant and contemporary classroom-based assessments, what kind of support would you like to see provided for teachers?
I think the government really, the ministry especially, opening up to collaborate with other service providers, I think that would be crucial. So not being stuck on the idea that it is only through the ministry that they can learn how to do these assessments, or it's only through the ministry, but opening up to different service providers to come in to support, let's say, Microsoft or Google, you know, the different technology apps that's there. The government the ministry just launched the digital agenda initiative for the Ministry of Education. So how can we collaborate with all of this? I think public-private partnership is something that is not done enough in the ministry, and that would be great for then teachers then to receive that kind of training, international training, that will help them with their assessments.
What about school leaders or school administrators, Cheryl? Do they have a role to play in maybe providing autonomy to teachers or providing a more conducive environment in the classroom that allows for teachers to conduct assessments in a way that they feel is best?
Yeah, I think school leaders not setting unrealistic standards or KPIs for teachers would be very beneficial. So school leaders understanding and believing that the whole assessment is to get a true measure of where the child is. And it's to do away with, like, we need to achieve TP4. So everyone in your class must achieve that. I think school leaders must move towards really empowering the teacher, for the teacher to be able to decide, okay, this child is definitely at this level, but now that we know, how can we assist this child to move up a higher standard for their tahap penguasaan? I think that's really the key role that school leaders play.
Are school leaders pressured to have these unrealistic KPIs for the school, and therefore it cascades down to unrealistic KPIs for teachers? What benefits might a school get if they have perfect tahap penguasaan 4, for instance?
I think because for many years this has been ingrained, right? We've got all these schools that do well, we've got all the schools that score perfect A's. In the absence of this, I think it's only natural that whether the state or the district will find what is the next thing that they can cling on to say that this school is a great school. I think it's only natural. And this transition takes time, right? So understanding that it's no longer this way, I think will take a bit of time with school leaders, with teachers, and with districts and state that have been programmed, I think, to believe that they need to achieve a certain KPI.
The one of the main concerns that I've heard parents raise over classroom-based assessments is that students lack motivation throughout the year because they don't have that kind of final standardized exam. How, as an educator yourself, how do you respond to this legitimate concern that parents have?
So I've heard that too, and I wonder whether, and being a parent myself, sometimes I wonder whether it's a parent motivation or whether it's the students themselves, because I think students are, especially in this age and time, it's different from how it was 20 years ago, right? I don't know if exam is their sole motivation anymore, or it is that they want to really learn, they want to develop mastery in something. So it's really a mindset thing, right? And it begins with parents. It begins with parents not putting that pressure that you need to get straight A's or you need to do this, right? But how are you understanding? How are you having that depth in that subject? I think that's very important. And mostly for us to understand that we are preparing our kids for like jobs that don't exist. So the way that we used to, that we were used to with exams and all that is not relevant anymore. So what is relevant? What is the new normal? I think that is important for us to understand.
So can I ask you, Cheryl, what would you like parents to do as they're listening to this, if they're concerned about classroom-based assessments? What role do parents need to play to make sure that this PBD assessment is well implemented?
I think showing up for your PIBG meetings, showing up for your PTA meetings, talking to the class teacher and getting that understanding, developing that understanding. The class teacher, I'm quite sure, will have everything ready. They will show you, they can show you exactly how the different tahap penguasaan works and where your child is at and where your child needs to go. And when you develop that understanding or play an active role in school, I think that would definitely help.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. That was Cheryl Fernando from Pemimpin JSL Malaysia. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our discussion about the effectiveness of classroom-based assessments. This after some parents and educators raised concern or apprehension over the effectiveness of its implementation. PBD is short for Pentaksiran Bilik Darjah. Joining us now, we have Dr. Zuwati Hashim on the line. She's a senior lecturer at University Malaya's Faculty of Education and also National Researcher for the Teacher-Led Learning Circles for Formative Assessment Project. Dr. Zuwati, thank you for being on the show with me. Can we begin our conversation by maybe better understanding what the primary advantages are of classroom-based assessments over standardized examinations? How do you see a successful classroom-based assessment practice improve student learning outcomes?
Okay, thank you, Melissa. Thank you for inviting. And this is actually an important topic to be discussed, and to develop understanding among all, especially the public and the parents especially. The reason for school-based assessment is to actually humanize assessment, to make assessment friendly to the students or the pupils. What we want to focus is on assessment for learning. We want learning to take place. It's not just for examination. It's not just for, looking at how well they are doing, but we want to see how well they acquire knowledge that we teach them. So this is the reason why school-based assessment, has been put in place. So when we talk about school-based assessment, definitely, we are looking at holistic development of our children if we are looking at the primary school level. Because we don't want the kids to just focus on academic performance. We want them to develop social skills, interaction skills, communication skills with the others, and not just with their peers, but with adults, teachers in schools, So there are many benefits of a school-based assessment, actually.
Okay, so when we think about the specific characteristics of school-based assessment, what would you say makes for a successful one, a successful exemplary implementation of PBD in Malaysia? What does that look like?
All right. What it should be, basically, when it comes to school-based assessment, there should be feedback from teachers, you know, when we talk about feedback, it has to be a comprehensive feedback, informational feedback for the students to use and develop their learning. Yeah, it's not just merely say good, excellent, but it has to be additional information on how the students or the pupils could develop or to actually improve their learning. For example, if let's say in writing, there is a construction of sentence which is not perfect, perhaps teacher could actually identify what is missing and inform the student, okay, the next step, what you need to do is to include this and this in your sentence to make it perfect. So that kind of feedback that we want the teachers to give to the students. And not only that, when it comes to school-based assessment, peers would play a role, a big role, yeah? In which a more capable peers would help their other peers. Yeah, so this is we call it collaborative learning. Yeah, collaborative learning. So
I like that. I just may interject here. I like the idea of there being many different aspects of classroom-based assessment, not just from the teacher, but teachers, but also maybe peers. How do you see that happening? I mean, are evaluation methods and different assessment approaches possible or feasible in a Malaysian setting? Are there other ways we can think about PBD beyond that rubric of tahap penguasaan 1 hingga 5?
It's actually, it shouldn't be too strict or too rigid when it comes to school-based assessment. When it comes to school-based assessment, there should be an autonomy given to teachers because teachers know what is best for their students and they know what is lacking, in terms of learning. So in this case, teachers are given rooms. Eh? Teachers should be given rooms to use their creativity, develop their own instruments to actually identify issues or identify the performance of the students in the classroom. So you can't have a standardized assessment because different kids are doing different things. You know, they develop differently. You know, some may learn quickly, some may, learn a bit slower. But in this case, when it comes to school-based assessment, this is the good side of it, you know, where teachers could cater to different type of students and at different pace of learning.
Okay. What needs to happen in the school setting, in the school culture, to allow for all these wonderful things that you talk about with, for true learning to take place and for true classroom-based assessment to take place, for teachers to give specific feedback, for there to be constructive, learning through peers and autonomy and a conducive environment? What needs to change or to happen?
Okay. The very first change that we need is the change of mindset. Yeah, moving away from, exam-oriented. Even now, we still hear people wanting to have exam back. For what purpose? We need to ask, if we were to implement high-stake exam, for what purpose is it? You know, especially for the young kids, why do we need high-stake exam? And at the end of year 6, for example, right? I would understand if it's conducted earlier to actually find out and to help improving the learning. But if it's at the end of year 6, so what are we going to do with the results? Because it will not take over to the secondary schools, you know? It's not the role of the secondary schools teachers to look into the test results and, do something about it. So when we ask for exam, we need to ask ourselves, what is it for? Is it for ranking purposes? You know, in fact, now going into boarding school, they have, you know, entrance exams. So we don't need UPSR anymore. Yeah. And in the case of school-based assessment, I would like to emphasize is that many teachers are actually very creative, Malaysian teachers. My involvement with a teacher-led teacher learning circles and teacher learning circles for formative assessment, it's actually a research based or organized by Education International in Brussels, where we have 7 countries involved, including Malaysia. So what we have identified is that involvement from parents, very good now that you know, there will be more communication between teachers and parents, and also the engagement in the classroom between student and teachers. You know, it makes a good, safe environment for learning.
Can I ask you, Dr. Zuati, there have been concerns raised that I've come across about the way PBD has been implemented or adopted that might inadvertently impact certain proficiency in certain subjects, even proficiency in English, for instance. Do you see any merit or legitimacy in these concerns, and how would you address them?
Okay, with a school-based assessment, PBD, Pentadbiran Bilik Darjah, it should be improvement. Yeah, we are looking at improvement. So if there is, you know, one side weaknesses on proficiency, certain proficiency, then the role of a teacher in the classroom is to tackle the issue and make sure that the students have achieved the learning outcome at the end of the day or at the end of the term or at the end of the month. Yeah. So with PBD or school-based assessment, there is a set target. So perhaps in terms of support given to the teachers, right? We need to actually support them, give them autonomy, let them do, you know, their best in the classroom. So far, with my involvement with 30 teachers, Malaysian teachers, in this research project, they are very creative. They came up with a lot of assessment instruments which help the students, and we've got, you know, interesting results, interesting outcome from it.
I'm so encouraged to hear that your research shows that teachers are creative, they're finding innovative ways to implement classroom-based assessment. But how do we scale this? How do we make sure that all teachers are supported and equipped for this beyond the 30 or so teachers that you're talking about? Are there support structures or resources that you think are needed for teachers to be effective in their in executing best practices in PBD?
I think Ministry of Education has actually developed or produced several initiatives. Yeah? Of course, when we talk about development, it will take some time. Yeah, it will take some time. Progressively, it will improve. And what we could see is that there are, you know, information given, trainings, you know, given to the teachers through teacher circles, teacher development circles, and professional development, and supports from peers as well, the teachers. Yeah, they would share what techniques, what methods works for the class. Yeah, so I personally, you know, because I've got young kids. So I am very objective and positive about the change.
Wonderful to hear. Thank you so much for speaking with me today. That was Dr. Zuati Hashim from University Malaya's Faculty of Education, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.